Let's talk with John Michaels. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Before we talk with John and give the Canes some love, which they deserve, I will remind you, especially maybe you're going to the game on Friday night, the best Canes gear, the best merch is at Caneswear in Davie on University Drive, or check it out online at caneswear.com. John Michaels hosts mornings on 680 The Fan in Atlanta. He's one happy Hurricanes fan, as am I. You feeling good about this team, John?
I feel great. Other than one of my co-hosts up here, Brian Finneran, is a absolute hater when it comes to Miami. So I've got a deal with Prize Picks, great daily fantasy game. So every week I do a prize pick of the week. So this week it was, I had the over on Dylan Sampson running the football for more than 82 yards. And I said, I'm taking more on Cam Ward. I think it was 322 and a half. I said, he's going to go north of four Bills against South Florida. And of course, I kind of get to 400. He's not throwing for 400. So Saturday night, I've had about seven or eight, Tito's and Red Bull in my system. I'm down in the basement screaming. I text them 404 yards for Cam Ward. And of course, I get the response, it's against South Florida. I said, well, what the hell did Jalen Milroe's Heisman contending ass do when he threw for 194 yards against South Florida? Oh, don't you knock Cam Ward. Oh, and then he gives me the response, oh, that's your boy now? He's been your quarterback for four games. I said, I don't care if he's been the quarterback for 4 minutes. He's wearing the orange and green. You're damn right he's my boy. And he's leading the Heisman Trophy. And if you can't tell, I'm fired up because we're 4-0, and we're going to fry some hokey on Friday night and get rid of those clowns as well.
Kane Swagger's back, Crowder. I think you would have. I think you can hear it as well as I can, but Kane Swagger is back.
Okay, and I'm not – Cam Ward's amazing. We've talked about this. Cam Ward is something special, and I think he should be the front runner for the Heisman right now. And I'm taking a shot at my team, the Gators, with this too. The Canes haven't really played anybody. No concern when they start playing real teams or if they do have to play a real team. Virginia Tech's okay, maybe going out to Cal. Any concern when they play – people over 17.
Georgia, Texas, Ohio State.
Yeah, my concern will be the college football playoffs then, because if you look at our schedule, there ain't a real team on there. Cal sucks. Cal's going to go out there and smoke some weed and, you know, maybe wear some hippie clothes. They lost to Florida State, so they're out. Virginia Tech lost to Vanderbilt and Rutgers. If we lose to them, fire the whole damn school if you lose to them on Friday night. I think you're one tough game, to be honest. And I watched Louisville a bunch on Saturday because they played Georgia Tech and we had to talk about it. I think Louisville's going to give you a game. Tyler Shuck can throw it around. They're going to try to bring a lot of pressure, which I'm not sure that's the best thing to do against Miami right now. And they've got some athletes on the offensive side of the ball. And Coach Brom does a really good job running a lot of mesh concepts and rub routes and stuff like that. So I think that's the one game during the regular season that may test you. Their true test may not be until December against a team like Clemson, who has a great defense. It may not be till late December when they're playing in a college football playoff game against an Alabama or a Missouri or somebody along those lines. I am interested. Can you stay healthy all year? Can you make sure you don't have a brain fart game? Even in Mario's best teams at Oregon, they would some reason go on a late, sleepy Saturday night to Arizona State and lose. Or they'd have a moment against Stanford where they'd lose. But it's something when I watch this, and yeah, the swagger is back. I've watched Miami for 40 years, and, you know, I can be fake and tell you how great I thought they would be for many years, but deep down inside, I knew they weren't as good as they are. They've got players everywhere. They've got a mentality about them everywhere. And they just look like a team that, whether it's Virginia Tech on Friday night, whether it's a 10:30 start at Cal Berkeley, whether it's a noon start here in Atlanta against Georgia Tech, I think everybody's going to have to bring an A-plus game against Miami. And Miami's going to have to play a C game for anybody that's on this schedule to beat them.
This Hurricanes football team is the best you've seen since... And I'll take it one step further as well. Cam Ward is the best quarterback at UM you've seen since.
So best team since 2002, and I don't think it's close. You know, I'm recording my podcast kind of as we're speaking, not right this second, but I was doing it a little while ago, and I started thinking about all the teams that started 4-0 for Miami. You know, last year started 4-0. I think it was 2017 started 4-0. 2020 may have started 4-0. 2016, 2013, go back a couple of years, 2009, they started 3-1. All of those teams felt flawed at some point. It felt like, you know, if the shoe dropped, it was going to go sideways. And 17 was magical, but let's be real. It's a miracle against FSU. It's not really a miracle. It's a late score against FSU. It's a miracle against Georgia Tech on a tip ball for a catch. You know, there were late game heroics against Virginia. The only two games you really felt like you dominated people were Virginia Tech and Notre Dame on those back-to-back, you know, nationally televised games. This team feels like, outside of, you know, a fluky turnover against South Florida, it doesn't even feel like they've been challenged. I was in Gainesville. That was no challenge. They could have put 60 on the Gators if Mario Cristobal wanted to be a complete jerk against them. So it's the best team since 2002, and I've watched every quarterback since Jim Kelly. This may sound crazy. Cam Ward's the best of all of them because he gives us something that's – and I love Steve Walsh. I love Gino Toretta. I love, you know, you name them. Ken Dorsey, Vinny Testaverde. I think athletically, he's the best since Vinny. I think mind-wise, he's the best since either Dorsey or Steve Walsh. And arm strength-wise, it's Jim Kelly. You're putting it all together. I think he's the best of all of them. I know that's crazy to say. I think he's got a really good chance of being Heisman Trophy winner number three. And I think he's got a chance before it's all said and done at the end of the 2024 season in Atlanta, Georgia. We might all be there celebrating at the end. And then I'm coming down, come hell or high water, to that national championship parade.
And John, are they talented as a team? I'm not taking shots, but when you bring up Ken Dorsey, we know his weapons, like the Andre Johnson, Santana Moss, like all those guys. You go back to Jim Kelly, we talked to Gino Toretta, he brings up all his receivers that went to the league. What is it, like Arroyo, Restrepo, Lyles, and Martinez in the backfield? Are they just not known, or are they as talented as those teams of the past? Because for you to say they're as good as those teams of the past, I don't see that Hall of Fame breed right now at UM, even though they're a great team.
I don't know that they're quite those teams, you know, and it's tough because those teams are so revered because obviously they won championships or got to championship games. We look at what these guys did in the NFL, and, you know, Andre Johnson is one of the all-timers. Santana Moss and Reggie Wayne, all-timers. Kenny Dorsey, although he didn't make it to the NFL with great success, still made it, one of the all-timers in college. But I do think these kids have chances. Now, is Xavier Restrepo as good as Santana Moss? No. I think he's Braxton Berrios on steroids, and Braxton was great as a college receiver. I think Isaiah Horton is a young kid, could be, you know, at 6'4" and 200 some odd pounds, could be any of that. Sam Brown runs like the wind. Jacoby George, if he'd stop dropping passes from time to time, can do all of that. I think Martinez is an NFL back, and I think where you get it more than anything, Crowder, is the offensive line. I think Malanoa in 2 years is a top six pick in this draft. I think Zach Carpenter is an NFL player. I think Inez Cooper has turned himself into an NFL player. That's things over the past 20 years you haven't had. You had solid linemen that might have been seventh round pick, fifth round pick, and kind of carved out a career. I think you got special kids up there now. And on the defensive front, the same way. You think about it, that D-line is eating. And they haven't had their best player except for one play in Reuben Bain. I think Malanoa at middle linebacker is an NFL guy. I think Wesley Bissaint's turned himself into an NFL guy. So I think as time goes along, this team might be able to, 5 years from now, you say, hey, they were as talented as any other team. But I look, and I think more of it is I look at today's day and age of college football, I don't necessarily see a special team. I think Texas is special. I think Texas is national title good. I think Georgia's good to great, but I don't think they're as good as they were the couple of years they won championships. I don't think Alabama has, other than that kid Ryan Williams and maybe Jalen Milroe, super special kids. And Ohio State, to me, scares the hell out of me because they got weapons everywhere, but Lord knows we owe them from about 21 years ago. But I think Miami's right in that mix with every one of those teams.
What have you thought through four games? I've asked this of several people. Have you watched any of the games and said to yourself, man, they really need to improve this because a good team is going to exploit that? I can't find a spot where they need to improve. I can't find a spot where I think anything has a hitch.
I think the only place is first half run game. And again, listening to Shannon Dawson this week, it's more they're just taking what the defense is giving them. You know, I think they had 20 yards or 22 yards on like 12 carries in the first half against South Florida, and then they explode for 180. They did the same thing against Ball State, ended up with over 200 yards. Florida, you know, Florida was playing a little more too high safety. I think they were scared crapless that Miami was going to bomb them, which they did, and they kind of they played a little bit softer, and Miami ran the ball better. But I think that's more along the lines, Hawk, of just teams are afraid right now of Miami mauling them, so they're trying to take the running game away, and instead they're allowing Cam Ward to bomb them. But you're right, through four games, I don't see a weakness. You're obviously going to be challenged more as the ACC schedule comes along. I think the biggest thing for me is always going to be mentality. They're still 18 to 22-year-old kids, and right now everybody in the world's patting them on the back. Can they continue to work as hard and be as prepared when people are patting them on the back?
What about the USF hurry up? Because early in that game, it looked like it was getting to them a little bit. USF is not that talented, so that you knew they were never going to be able to maintain that and win the one-on-ones, but it seemed like it limited that D-line you're speaking of, who they have some monsters up front. Could a better team do that, you know, play every 15 seconds and work against Miami?
I think the only team, though, that does that in the country is Tennessee, and I left them out. I think Tennessee is really, really good. I was watching them Saturday night demolish Oklahoma. I think defensively they're good, but their offense is because Alex Golish came directly from the Josh Heupel tree, I think could do kind of the same thing. And, yeah, that would be worrisome. But I think it also gets worrisome for the other team if you do go three and out. And let's be real, South Florida – that little Wes Welker kid or whoever the hell he was, little Atkins, that little white dude was killing us with those little three-yard routes and pick plays and rub routes. He was the only one, though, that really threatened us. And the problem is, you know, in the first half, South Florida was able to pick up first down after first down and keep their offense on the field. You go three and out against Miami in like 18 seconds, you could be getting blown out before it's all said and done. So, could somebody exploit that? Yes. I think in spurts they could, but I don't know outside of Tennessee if anybody could run that offense and it be sustainable.
Man, we're having fun, aren't we, John? And I make so no awesome apologies about this schedule. None.
Hey, look, it's not our fault that Florida sucks. It's not our fault that Florida State is dreadful. It's not our fault that the ACC didn't put Clemson on the schedule. None of that's our fault. Hey, it's going to be our fault when we whoop their ass and we're 11-1 or 12-0 when this season's all over with, and we're in Charlotte, and we're playing for an ACC championship game, and if we win that, we get a bye, and we're in the playoffs. I told all my co-hosts, I said, you guys have known me 20 years. You've never seen Miami great. Don't let us be in that playoffs. Don't let us be in the semifinals, and don't let us be in the championships, because you think I'm a jerk now. Wait till Miami's playing on the biggest stage, and I come in with four turnover chains, socks pulled up to my knees. I might go get a gold grill and get that thing orange and green. It's going to be everything you think of a stereotypical Miami fan. I'm going to be every bit of that.
Yeah. Just Sean, be ready, Crowder. Just
Sean
be
Atkins.
Ready.
That's the little white boy that's 28 years old.
Is he like 28? Like,
yeah. He's graduated already. He was working at CVS. The coach had to convince him to quit his day job to play football.
It's why it's so funny listening to John talk about all these NFL guys. But the best player on the field last Saturday was a white guy nobody had ever heard of.
Solana, you're so right. I'm screaming at the TV going, can somebody cover the little white dude? Like, we know they're throwing the ball to him and him only. Like, go get him. And they just couldn't do it.
That's great. John Michaels, 680 The Fan in Atlanta. Follow him on Twitter, John Michaels U. John Michaels and the letter U. He is Cocky Hurricanes fan. It is back. Prepare yourself if you're not in the right frame of mind, because we can get a little outlandish, but we've been waiting a long time to feel this way, and it's already starting to ooze out of his pores, man.
Did you tell John I got a pass this season?
We're giving Crowder a pass for the Canes this season, right? We're bringing him on board.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Crowder's my guy. So I had to defend him on social media because, you know, people that don't understand y'all's show, and I listen whenever I can here, it's not always going to be technical breakdowns. And Crowder was having fun with Cam Ward before the season. Like, I don't know where this guy come from. And I know Channing, a lot of it's tongue in cheek. And Miami fans were like, how does this guy have a show on Miami radio? Oh, I don't know, because he's great at what he does. Like, give the dude a damn break. Now, get him a dental plan, but outside of that, he's great.
Hey, I like that you say it's not always technical breakdowns. It's never technical breakdowns.
Hey, John, I have a restaurant now in Hard Rock Stadium. They cuss my ass out on Kane's home games, boy.
I mean, this segment was too much football talk. I wanted to talk about Cherry's Jubilee Day. That's really where I had headed, planned on heading. But anyway, we got to let you go. John Michaels, follow me on Twitter. John Michaels U is the Twitter account. See you, John.
See you, guys.